The scripture today is Isaiah 61, and we heard the whole chapter earlier in the service, but let's just read a couple of the verses again. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts now by your word. May these words of the prophet live in our minds. May they live in our heart as we seek you. And as we follow you, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, a few months ago, Randall asked me to take the role of Isaiah in this year's Christmas musical. And as soon as he asked me, I knew it would be a challenge for me. First would be the challenge of memorizing the sections of scripture that I would recite. The problem is that one consequence of my misspent youth has been a lack of Bible memorization. and now, it gets more difficult as the years go by. Well, I was right. That part of it did turn out to be difficult for me. But the other challenge was to try to find the voice of Isaiah in the scripture. Now, by voice, I don't mean coming up with some phony accent or trying to sound prophetic. But what I mean by that, what I mean by voice is there a person behind the writings of Isaiah that could be discovered and even communicated so that the words might speak clearly, maybe even in a new way? And so I began to think about Isaiah. Here was someone who, first of all, he had a vision of God in the temple. He was a prophet. He was a prophet who had access to four different kings of Judah. He was able to talk directly to them, walk into their lives whenever. And they listened to him. They didn't always obey him, but they listened to him, even though what he told them was never comforting or complimentary to them. Isaiah was one who delivered strong words of judgment to a wayward Israel, and at the same time, he could speak powerful words of comfort. And by comfort, he didn't mean taking it easy. By comfort, he meant a time of God's favor, the forgiveness of sin. Isaiah was able to speak very directly to the political situation of his day. And also, at the same time, somehow he was speaking about the coming Messiah and the establishment of the kingdom of God. His voice was certainly unique in the ancient world. Powerful, wise, true. He spoke about things no one else could see. And he called people to a life of embracing a vision from God that extended to all the nations of the world. For hundreds of years, there was no one to give voice to Isaiah's words. Oh, they certainly read his words. They read his prophecy in the synagogues and such, but there was no one who was able to truly embrace his words, to live them out, until Jesus came. And at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus went to the synagogue at Nazareth, and he opened the scroll, and he read what was read to us this morning, Isaiah 61. And then he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." It was Jesus who took Isaiah's voice upon himself. And then through his ministry, through his death and resurrection, his life was defined by the prophet's words. And so, Isaiah's voice became the voice of Jesus. So that today, when we read Isaiah, we hear Jesus. For Jesus proclaimed the good news to the poor. And Jesus bound up the brokenhearted. And Jesus proclaimed freedom for captives. And he brought the long-awaited signs of the year of the Lord's favor, healing sickness, casting out demons, atoning for the sins of the people, rising to resurrection life. That's the year of the Lord's favor. And in this, we find the meaning of Christmas, that Jesus gives us the reason for the season. He tells us from Isaiah why he came to earth and what voice and what activity would define his life. Now, you see, when he came into the synagogue that day and read from the scroll, he could have picked any text. He could have chosen Isaiah 40, "Comfort, comfort my people." He could have chosen to read from Isaiah 35, "The redeemed will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads." We love those passages, don't we? We love the passages in Isaiah that have to do with comfort and joy. And indeed, they're true. They stayed our hope in Christ. But you see, Jesus chose to read from Isaiah 61. As he picked up the voice of Isaiah and made it his own, as he set out the definition of his life, the reason he came to earth. And if we follow the Messiah, if we love Jesus, then we will embrace this chapter from Isaiah as well. In 538 BC, Cyrus issued a decree allowing the Jewish people to return home from their years in exile in Babylon. But only part of the community returned. And when they came home, they experienced difficulty. They experienced some years of drought, crop failure, high inflation rates in their finances, hunger, hostile neighbors, and even internal division. And they began to give up hope. And this is a situation into which Isaiah spoke. He spoke of the Messiah, who would be anointed by the Spirit to preach the good news, to provide beauty instead of ashes, gladness instead of mourning, praise instead of despair, so that God's people would become oaks of righteousness. In his commentary on Isaiah, John Oswald asks, what is the means by which the people will be enabled to live righteous lives, which in turn will draw the nations to God? The means is the Anointed One, the Messiah. It is the Messiah who will make of God's people what they cannot make of themselves. Verse 11 says this, "For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations." The vision of God, you see, is for the world. And it is a vast and comprehensive vision. And Isaiah 61 gives that vision voice. And we are invited, we are called, as followers of Jesus, as followers of the Messiah, we are called to participate in that vision for the nations. So, if you participate in Skagit Feeds Children next week, you are participating in the vision of God for the nations, for the world. And I know I've done that in other places, the same ministry. I know what happens is that when you do that, you leave that day feeling good about what you have done. They actually tell you to feel good about what you have done. At the same time, you realize that you are only a small part of a very large task, and that, in fact, others do the difficult work. But even though it's small, even though it's just a couple of hours, you will have stepped into an entry point into the greater vision of God. Who is capable of making the vision of God a reality? Who is up to proclaiming good news to the poor when the poor hear so much bad news every day? Who is skilled enough to bind up the brokenhearted when the healing of broken lives is such a complex and time-consuming task? How can those in prison become truly free, even after they've been released from prison? The vision, you see, that Isaiah sets out is vast. And yet, we, by faith, step into the entry points of God's great vision. And it is Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus, who could read this text and then say it is fulfilled in him. But he invites us to join him. If the community garden helped to feed many families this summer, did we not proclaim good news to the poor? If Children of the Valley redirect some children's lives so that when they grow up, they do not spend time in the county jail or in some hopeless or dark place, did we not proclaim freedom for the captives? If through the ministry of New Earth Recovery, numbers of men and women come out of addiction into vibrant and productive God-honoring lives, did we not bestow on them a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair? If through the youth ministry or the children's choir or the Outreach Christmas musical, many people come to receive Christ in faith and trust in his atoning work on the cross for them, did we not proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? If all we do for the Lord, we know that the good news is found only in the cross and resurrection of Jesus. This is where broken people are healed. This is where the prisoners see light. This is where the troubled spirits find the comfort of God. Then in verses 4 through 9, Isaiah gives a vision of prosperity in Israel, the renewal of the ruined cities. For those who returned from exile found the land in ruins. Many buildings had been destroyed. The city wall was broken. But Isaiah's word was of a restored community. There was then the practical and hard work ahead of rebuilding. But Paul Hansen reminds us that always what is built in obedience to God goes beyond bricks and mortar. It includes placing God's justice, God's mercy, at the heart of the rebuilding project, so that the community might display God's glory. God's vision of prosperity, you see, is always more than affluence. It is a vision of a vibrant spiritual life in every community, so that the worship of God is the center of the city life. Here, the practical and the spiritual come together. Prosperity includes the hard work of wise planning and decisions, daily tasks done well, construction of buildings and carrying on commerce that benefits the people. But while that hard work is done, we also give ourselves to spiritual work. People need the Lord. For example, while our community is building a new county jail for the safety and security of the community, let us be building ministries that bring hope and life to people so they won't have to end up in jail. What Isaiah is saying is that prosperity is both practical and spiritual, and that we need to think more about a vision of spiritual prosperity. This leads us to verse 10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. Here is the vision of the rejoicing soul. Here is the community rejoicing in their repentance, not weeping over their many sins, but rejoicing in their repentance because they finally came to see God as he really is. They have come through their long journey to know God and to know his goodness. And then the vision ends with a wedding. Verse 10, the bride of Christ, clothed in garments of salvation, walking the road to the dwelling of Christ, to the kingdom of God. We sing in procession. We sing as we walk. We are filled with joy. And a few weeks ago, the video in worship was of people sharing their favorite Christmas song. You remember the different songs. Well, how about this? How about this for a Christmas song that captures Isaiah's vision and of Jesus, Messiah, in whom it is filled? Break forth, O beauteous heavenly light, and usher in the morning. Ye shepherds, shrink not with fright, but hear the angel's warning. This child, now weak in infancy, our confidence and joy shall be. The power of Satan breaking, our peace eternal making. Break forth, O beauteous heavenly light, to herald our salvation. He stoops to earth, the God of might, our hope and expectation. He comes in human flesh to dwell, our God with us, Emmanuel. The night of darkness ending, our fallen race befriending. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this vision. Thank you, Lord, for this prophet. Thank you for this voice that becomes the voice of Jesus, that becomes the voice that speaks to our hearts, that leads us, that calls us out of our comfort into his comfort, out of our darkness into his light, into ministry that is confident because it's based in the cross and the resurrection and the kingdom of God. Lord, stir our hearts, awaken us in this Advent season, that not only do we receive the gift, but we live it, we walk in it, in your way. Lord, guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name.